Jason Smith, many Oilers fans know him as Gator, also joins us right now. Jason, how you doing, man?
Very good, very good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks again for the roundtable luncheon today. Was a lot of fun. Let's talk a little bit about now. It's many years removed, but every time you come back to Edmonton, is there mixed feelings of the great times you had, but also that you know the Stanley Cup final, or have you been able to let that part go?
Oh, you know, I think honestly, you know, you still can reflect back on that time. I think now at this point, I think you can talk about the great times and the fun I had here playing. But you know, there's always that in the back of the mind that, you know, if we would have won that last game seven there, you'd kind of have a real special spot for that group, the guys that played on that team and the guys in the city.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how literally one 60-minute game, because this is game seven. It wasn't like you guys got swept. It was one game. And that can change so much for the rest of your life in one 60-minute interval.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think being down in that series, and then coming back and forcing game seven was a feat on its own, but you know, to come up one game short was really disappointing. But you know, it was a credit to the group of guys and the compete and how good a team we were to come back and make that into a game seven.
Jason Smith joins us now. Jason, in your career, you got traded a few times. You know, a big trade early on with Doug Gilmore. Then, of course, you get traded to Toronto, to Edmonton, that really helped you out. And then eventually later on to Philadelphia. You've been in coaching in the Western Hockey League and you got let go of, as a coach for the first time. How different of a feeling is that? Is it much worse than when a guy gets traded?
Well, you know, I think there's probably a similar thoughts and in that, you know, you reflect back and have you done something wrong or, you know, what else could have you done? But then, you know, after you take a little time from the coaching standpoint, you look at the expectations and where things were at and then, you know, where things finished up and what you could have done different. But, you know, you have to continue to move forward and realize that, you know, it's kind of a part of the business.
Yeah, well, and you know what, especially because you had great success your 2 years with the Kelowna Rockets, winning 45 and 43 games in back-to-back seasons. You'd been an NHL assistant coach in Ottawa. Then you got that opportunity with the Rockets to be the head coach. Now, it's very different just because the age group and there's so much things going on. But, you know, as somebody who had a lot of different coaches in his career, what did you like best about being a head coach in the WHL?
I think you really get a chance to get a feel for the young players in today's game. I think, you know, junior hockey isn't just about, you know, coaching players and winning games. It's about, you know, trying to develop, you know, good quality people and you know, hopefully giving them the next opportunity to move on and have some success in hockey. Or, you know, if it's not playing professional hockey, they can maybe take the strides and steps to go to Canadian University and move on and get an education, but continue playing. But it's about developing good people you don't have the expectation and the pressure of what there is in the National Hockey League of, you know, absolutely winning games all the time. It's also about developing people and giving them an opportunity to have success in life.
Now, you have two daughters who are 22 and 20 years of age. So, you know, when you were a coach there, I think maybe did it help you having dealt with, and I know the girls are different than boys, of course, but that same age range, you kind of understand what they're into when it comes to electronics and social media. Was that an advantage you felt as far as knowing what those young teenagers were thinking in life?
Yeah, I think, obviously having girls, I think I really, you know, in that same age group, I had a feeling and an idea what, you know, that age group is dealing with. I think my girls are a couple of years removed from, you know, from being 16, 17, 18, but, you know, you get a feel that, you know, what they deal with in school for one. And then also in the social aspect of how important the, you know, being on Instagram and Twitter is and you know, what people think of them and how they're looked at is a real big, big thing with today's kids. I think, you know, opposed to when I was a teenager growing up playing junior hockey, you know, if you didn't play, you know, a good game or you didn't play lots of ice time in the game, you know, people didn't post and write about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to help them to be able to not worry about that and deal with it was, you know, something that I was aware of and, you know, hopefully could help them out with that.
Jason Smith joins us, a former NHLer. Jason, you are a captain in Regina. You're a captain in Albany. You're a captain in Edmonton. You're a captain in Philly. It's safe to say that you've been somebody. Now, I'm guessing when you were a young player even before that, like in Bantam and Midget, were you always a captain of your team at a young age?
You know what? I think I was in Bantam, but, you know, not much before that. I think around Bantam age is when you know, having a captain of the team really came on. I think it's more of a permanent thing now. I think you see kids that are mites or tykes or,
yeah,
you know, Bantam age players where they have a captain on the team. I think as I grew up, the captain and the assistants might have just kind of rotated around the room. It wasn't really relying on one person for direction or whatnot.
Yeah, and I don't think it should, to be completely honest. And it just
no, I think it's about kids learning to, you know, in a team atmosphere. I think kids should be worried about what they can do best for the team. It's not about one person. It's about, you know, how I can improve and help my team do better.
Jason Smith joins us, and very well said. And when you became captain at Bantam, and I think a lot of people, when they think Jason Smith, they just think this rugged, physical, hard to play against defenseman. You know, he's killing penalties, wasn't a power play guy, but you were an offensive defenseman in Regina, right? Like, that's what you were. How difficult was it for you to make that transition to kind of have to maybe give up some of that natural offensive instinct that you'd always played with?
Well, I think it was tough my first couple of years. I think, you know, Larry Robinson, the assistant coach at the time in New Jersey, really helped me. I think Jacques Lemaire wanted me to play defense and just play defense, and I didn't really abide by the rules of playing from the offensive blue line to the defensive zone. You know, there's a good chance I might not play. And, you know, Larry was really good at relaying the message and working with me and giving me, you know, a kind of a mindset that if you became a good defensive player that could move the puck and play a simple game and just defend well, there's lots of opportunity and you can have a great career in hockey. And, you know, getting moved out of New Jersey and getting to Toronto, I kind of got a chance to prove myself and then got moved from there to Edmonton and it all worked out. I think, you know, as much as moving and being traded hurt, I learned that, you know, I could contribute and be a real positive factor for whatever team I was playing on.
And, you know, you talked earlier today at the luncheon about Larry Robinson and how he really helped you. But you talked about Jacques Lemaire, who, you know what, was a very defensive-oriented coach. He had a lot of success at the NHL, and he was a very offensive player when he played. You said something about how he wanted you to play defense from your zone to the offensive blue line, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and so can you kind of elaborate on that? And because you admitted, you said, man, I had a hard time adjusting to that. What part of that was so difficult, and what was he adamant about playing defense, not just in your own zone, but all through the neutral zone?
Well, I think just, you know, not taking, for one, it wasn't taking risks to try and, you know, poach a puck at the blue line or pick off a pass in the neutral zone. It was about, you know, being defending back to your zone and being on the inside of the rink with a good stick and holding the blue line, hold the red line if you could, hold the blue line after that, and then hopefully force the puck out of the middle of the rink and give up a shot from the outside. And with the goaltending that was in New Jersey, if there were shots from the outside, there's a good chance Marty Brodeur was stopping it. And if you happen to give up the grade A scoring chances from the middle of the rink, there's a good chance he was stopping it too. So, I mean, it was a great situation to learn. It was hard because I wanted to be involved in the offense. I wanted to, you know, create offense in the offensive zone. And kind of at that time in the league, there was not the amount of defensemen that are in the league today that are involved in the O-zone play. It's more of a five-man unit in the O-zone now. You got D-men coming down the wall, D-men going down the middle of the rink. interchanging with forwards. And back then it was, he wanted our, I mean, Scotty Stevens and Scotty Niedermeyer had a little leeway, and everybody else on the back end was defense first mentality and just get the puck out of our zone.
And that's a real challenge mentally, I think, to change. And obviously you did it and it worked really well. And maybe part of your persona, I learned I got to do what's best for the team. It can't just be about me sometimes. But when you watch the game now, is there a part of you that was like, oh, man, maybe I wish I was a little bit younger, because you are a guy who had that ability to play both ends, obviously, because you're an offensive guy and junior. And to adapt and become that good defensively at the NHL, I'm not sure if people maybe understand how big of an adjustment that was and how well you did it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hate to sit there and kind of say, well, the what-if scenario, right? Like, that's not, you know, you look back, I mean, I got nothing but great things to say about how much fun it was playing hockey and, you know, getting a chance in the National League and playing as long as I did. I think, you know, that was, you know, something that I'll, you know, have great memories for forever. And, you know, you can sit back now and say, well, I wish I was out there now because, you know, this would have happened. But you know what? I might have been taught to play defense when I grew up now. You know, it might have been the opposite. And,
okay.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the game changes and, you know, goes another direction again, you know, sometime in the future.
Jason Smith joins us now. Because I hear from a lot of people, you never lose your offensive instincts. Jason, do you find that when you were able to coach, because you knew how to play defense now, but deep down there was still that offensive defenseman inside of you, that help you as a coach that, you know, you could relate to defensemen in both factors?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you're able to be an offensive player and develop offense at some point, I think you have a vision and a train of thought and being able to see plays maybe a little bit earlier as they happen. And, you know, so much of creating offense is, you know, having good vision. I mean, you can revert back to, you know, your Gretzky's and Curry's and, you know, how did they pass the puck to each other and find each other in open ice and shoot the puck and have success all the time. It's because they had vision and they could see, you know, they could see ahead of everybody else. And, you know, I obviously never had that vision on the ice, but I think wanting to create offense really gave me an opportunity when I did start coaching in Kelowna, that I wanted our defensemen to be involved and be a part of a five-man attack and you know, not be taking risks to create offense. But if there was an opportunity to be a fourth or fifth guy in the rush, or if there was an opportunity to find open ice in the O zone and be a passing option, I wanted them to do that.
Jason, you got your feet wet coaching, 2 years as assistant in the NHL, 2 years in the Western Hockey League. Are you itching to get back? Would you like to be a head coach at the American League level or the WHL level, or would you be an assistant at the NHL? Are you open to all?
Well, I'm open to all. I think I definitely want to, you know, get back and get involved and hopefully sooner than later. I think you know, it's important to not be out of the game a long time, and it's important to you know, stay involved watching and stay up to date on, you know, players and what's going on in the league, to give yourself an opportunity. And whatever league you may get back into, you have to be up to date on what's up.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Now, when you play this weekend in the Alzheimer's tournament, are we going to see Jason Smith turn back the clock, Regina Pats rushing it up the ice?
I'm not sure. There's some people lobbying around the luncheon today that wanted to know if I was going to play forward. So, might turn into maybe a power right winger like a Bill Guerin or somebody streaking down the wing with a hard slap shot. Maybe I should bring back a wooden stick.
Oh, buddy, maybe you probably just go to Ryan Smith's house. He might have a few lying around.
Yeah, no, for sure.
One last one for you, Jason. Earlier today, I listened to Rafi Torres, and he spoke very open and candidly about his time in New York. And, you know, they didn't have a real close group there. And he was a young, you know, insecure man, he said. And when he came to Edmonton, he was just amazed at how welcoming everybody was. You were the captain, one of the leaders of that team at that time. Did you recognize that right away? And, you know, how are you able to bring guys and make him feel comfortable? Because, you know, I could just hear in his voice the respect he had for you and Ethan Morrow. And, you know, he kind of joked, he said, man, if Smitty tells me to run someone this weekend, I would. Like, I would still listen to everything he said. Like, that had to mean a lot to you as, you know, a young guy this many years still was like, you made a big difference for him as a person to become more comfortable and play in the NHL.
Well, you know, I mean, it's great to hear that. I think as a player, when you play, you kind of take things in from different just situations you've been in or you've witnessed as a player. And I think when I first started in New Jersey, I saw the way, you know, your veteran guys really tried to help and take care of the younger guys, from Scotty Stevens and the Bruce Drivers, you know, Slava Fedosov. There was a real good group of guys there that cared, Chris Terreri in the net as a backup. They cared about the young guys and wanted to make sure they were, you know, in a good place. You know, having them experience that, they know that it's not easy for a young guy to be away from home. It's not an easy situation for a young guy to be cooking food and making meals and doing all that kind of stuff. And when you know, you get out in a spot where, you know, you don't feel comfortable going to the rink and you're on edge and you're nervous, it's hard to play and hard to produce. It's hard enough to play in this league as fast as it is and as competitive it is if you're not in a good place mindset wise. So, you know, opportunity wise and getting the guys to be comfortable, learning from those guys, and then whether it was Jamie McCowan and Felix Potvin when I got to Toronto and Matt Sundin, you know, really good guys that were, you know, really helpful when I first got there. And then getting here to seeing the way Bucky was and Dougie Waite and Billy Guerin, having known Billy from when I first started in New Jersey, you know, I had a comfort spot in the room. And when you're comfortable, it's a lot easier to go out there and play, because it is the greatest game in the world and it is the fastest game in the world. And if you're not comfortable, it's hard to play.
Yeah, that's very well said. Well, Jason, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll see you at the draft and enjoy it. I have a sneaking suspicion you won't wait very long at the draft. I can guarantee you'll be going a lot higher at this year's draft, even though you were a first rounder in 1992. But you'll be going a little bit higher than 18th.
Sounds good. All right.
Take her easy.
Thank you.
You betcha. That's Jason Smith.